Oh, do not be offended, please, because I start to sing. For if I did not come out here, this curtain down they'd bring. For the man who ought to sing this song, he is taken very sick. And as I was standing idle, well, they grabbed me very quick. And they wanted me to take his place and do the best I could. They said, get out and sing his song. Well, I told them that I would. They're standing there for to watch me now, my actions for to see. They said, you can't get more than killed. How pleasant that would be. McKelsey and McClassy too, they matched their dogs for fight. They posted $50 each and they fight on Friday nights. We all went down to Harpo's place. McKelsey's dog was there. But we could not find McClassy nor his bulldog anywhere. Then they wanted me to take his place and do the best I could. They said, get in and fight me, boy. We know your pluck is good. A tried to make me strip my coat and fight the dog, you see. But I could lose my eyes, my ears, my nose. How pleasant that would be. And my sister had a policy upon her husband's life. He ran away and left her there to a disappointed life. She said if only he were dead, the insurance she could claim. And so she bought a coffin and upon it carved his name. Then she wanted me to take his place and do the best I could. To lay out flat and be nailed up in a coffin made of wood. And when the mourners were all gone, then she'd set me free. But perhaps she'd forget about me then. How pleasant that would be, huh? Thank you. That's welcome to this session, by the way. That's a song that was in the repertoire of a man named Ezra Fuzzy Barhite. He was a Southern Tier New York State lumberman. He worked in the lumber woods around Wellsville, down in Allegheny County in western New York, southern western New York, right on the border of Pennsylvania. And he was born in the 1870s. He learned most of his songs in the 1880s, 1890s, in these lumber camps. There was a great singing tradition because they didn't have Game Boys, I guess. So the lumbermen would pass the evenings. There was typically no liquor allowed in a lumber camp, so they'd pass the evenings trading songs. Songs that they had learned perhaps from their elders or ancestors. And luckily this guy, Ezra Barhite, in the early 1950s, he wrote a letter to Cornell University. He was living in around Hornell at the time. And he wrote a letter saying, I know all these great old songs that I learned in the lumber camps, they're all gonna die with me if someone doesn't come out and record them. Because I can't get anyone interested in them. My children aren't interested, my neighbors aren't interested. So luckily, there was a professor at Cornell at the time who was keenly interested in preserving our oral literature, our oral folk songs. And his name was Harold Thompson. Many of you might know his name. But he sent one of his students out who was a singer. Also, Ellen Steckert was her name. She recorded about 150 of this man's songs. And I found out about them. They've been sitting in the archives at Cornell University in the basement library. In a back room all covered with dust. And I found out about him about 5 years ago, and so I got a hold of Ellen Steckert, the folklorist who recorded this man in the 50s. She's now an elderly woman living in the Midwest, but she was very happy that someone was interested in the songs, and so she gave me permission to go to Cornell, to the archives, and record these songs for my own use. And now I've been learning some of them and sharing them with people around the state again. But those are the kinds of songs I'm really interested in, songs that people used to sing back in the days when people used to sing more than they do today for their own entertainment and to pass the time. This conference seemed like a great opportunity to share some of these songs, the two kind of sub-themes here being women in our history and also use of the archives in doing historical research. And so I thought I'd bring some of these songs that I've dug up. And especially the ones that have a woman either as a central figure in the song, or at least a subplot involving women, and see if we can glean anything from these songs in terms of how were women represented in these mostly 19th century songs. How did people, the songs give us a great glimpse as to what people thought and how they viewed things. And so I'm not a scholar of women's studies at all, other than that I'm married to one. I suppose that counts for something. but so I thought, for anybody who wants to become involved in this discussion, I'm going to present several of these songs that have women in the story. And if we want to, after each song, discuss it a little bit, if people want to offer comment or any anecdotes, feel free. If you just rather sit back and listen, that's fine too. This next one, it's kind of ironic. It comes from a family who moved to Western New York from New England. New England, the farming in New England in the 1700s, early 1800s, the soil was considered to be a bit too rocky. Lots of people farmed anyway, but when they found out after the Revolutionary War about all this fertile land out here in New York State, particularly the Genesee Valley was an area that they targeted. So this family moved in the 1830s from New England to the Genesee Valley. And this was one of their family songs, and ironically, it talks about, it's a conversation between a husband and wife talking about, do they want to stay put or do they want to move out to Wisconsin, where they understand the farming is far superior. Seems that the woman plays the, well, you'll see the roles that the man and the women play in this. Farming, I'll tell my sweetheart. I have a mind to forsake my plow and my cart. Off to Wisconsin on a journey I'll go, to double my fortunes as other folks do. Whilst here I must labor each day in the field, and the winter consumes all the summer doth yield. Oh, husband, I've noticed with a sorrowful heart that long you've neglected your plow and your cart. Your sheep lie at random, disorderly run, and your new Sunday jacket goes every day on. Oh, stick to your farming and suffer no loss, for the stone that keeps rolling will gather no moss. Oh, wife, let us hasten, do not make us wait, for I long to be there and I long to be great. You might be some great lady, who knows, but I might be a rich governor before I die. While here I must labor each day in the field, and the winter consumes all the summer doth yield. Oh, husband, remember your land is all cleared, which has cost you the labor of many a year. Horses, sheep, cattle, you'll all have to buy. By the time we get settled, oh, then we must die. Oh, stick to your farming and suffer no loss, for the stone that keeps rolling will gather no moss. I guess so far we have practical woman and adventurous dreamer husband. Oh, wife, let us hasten, do not make us stand, for I'll buy you a farm that's been cleared at your hand. Horses, sheep, cattle are not very dear. We will feast on fat buffalo half of the year. Whilst here I must labor each day in the field, and the winter consumes all the summer doth yield. Oh, husband, remember that land of delight. is surrounded by engines that murder by night. They'll plunder your cabin, burn it to the ground, while your wife and your children lay murdered around. Oh, stick to your farming and suffer no loss, for the stone that keeps rolling will gather no moss. How could he possibly answer that? Oh, wife, you've convinced me, I'll argue no more, for I never once thought of you dying before. I love our dear children, although they are small, and I love my companion far better than all. I'll stick to my farming and suffer no loss, for the stone that keeps rolling will gather no moss. So I guess those are pretty fairly typical roles that I've noticed in a lot of these songs. The woman is sort of the nuts and bolts of the operation, and the guy is sort of the dreamer. Maybe not so different from today in some ways. This next song, and if we look at the first song, the woman only came in at the end. It was the sister who wanted to, whose husband ran away on her. Which also seems to be a fairly common theme in these 19th century songs. The woman is sort of the passive one and has things happening to her and doesn't really do anything. The man is sort of the one who's going to affect change, who's going to decide what the fate of the woman is. Not decide, but his actions are going to determine where the woman ends up. So you have women in these very passive roles in some of these songs. Not this one, though. This one, one of the common stories in 19th century folk song is the sailor who comes in from sea, and it has been out in some cases for years, if they were on a whaling ship, or at least for many months, and has some money to spend, arrives at a fancy port such as New York City, and there are all kinds of women there who are ready to help them spend their money. And so this is a great song that comes from the New York City seaport, and it's got a singing part, which would be great if we could get some of you singing. I don't imagine you did too much singing yet today in your other workshops. So if you feel like joining in, the chorus is, "Away you Johnnies, my dear honeys, oh you New York girls, you love us for our monies." And that comes around about 63 or 4 times, so you'll have lots of chances. I learned my version from a great local singer here named John Roberts. If you don't know him, you certainly should. I think he's out of Schenectady. But his version of this song is the one I took mine from. Chorus is this. Away you Johnnies, my dear honeys, oh you New York girls, you love us for our monies. Let's try it together. Away you Johnnies, my dear honeys, oh you New York girls, you love us for our monies. When I arrived at South Street, a fair maid I did meet. She asked me to take her home, she lived on 14th Street. And away you Johnnies, my dear honeys, oh you New York girls, you love us for our monies. I said, my dear young lady, I'm a stranger here in town, just left the ship yesterday from Liverpool I was bound. And away you Johnnies, my dear honeys, oh you New York girls, you love us for our monies. It was in tune when I bought it. She said, if you'll just come with me, I'll give to you a treat. I'll get you rum and brandy, dear, and tap nabs for to eat. And away, you Johnnies, my dear honeys. Oh, you New York girls, you love us for our monies. When we arrived at 14th Street, we stopped at number 4. Her mother and her sister came to greet us at the door. And away, you Johnnies, my dear honeys. Oh, you New York girls, you love us for our monies. When we walked inside the place, the drinks was handed round. That liquor was so awful strong, my head spun round and round. And away, you Johnnies, my dear honeys. Sounds good. Oh, you New York girls, you love us for our monies. When I awoke next morning, I had an aching head. And there was I, Jack, all alone, stark naked on the bed. And away, you Johnnies, my dear honeys. Oh, you New York girls, you love us for our monies. I looked all around the room, but nothing could I see. But a lady's shift and pantaloons, not worth a darn to me. And away, you Johnnies, my dear honeys. Oh, you New York girls, you love us for our monies. With a flour barrel for a suit, I wished I'd never been born. Then a boarding master picked me up and sent me round Cape Horn. And away, you Johnnies, my dear honeys. Oh, you New York girls, you love us for our monies. Be the heat. So come all you bully sailormen, take warning when ashore, or else you'll wind up with a gal who's nothing but a problem. And away, you Johnnies, my dear honeys. Oh, you New York girls, you love us for our monies. Your hard-earned cash will disappear, your rigging boots as well. Those New York girls are tougher than the other side of hell. And away, you Johnnies, my dear honey. Oh, you New York girls, you love us for our money. Got him there, didn't she? Anybody want to comment on any of these women? They're kind of colorful. This next one, I guess, puts the woman in the more common role of fawning over the traveling salesman of the time, the tinker. The tinker was a person who would travel from rural community to rural community fixing pots and pans and ladles. And the tinker was a welcome sight, not only because he could fix things that other people couldn't, but also because the tinker would be the carrier of news. This is back in a time when news didn't travel very fast. People didn't have access to what was going on outside of their own little hamlet. And so the tinker could bring stories from far away as to what was happening elsewhere. Where I get the song is there were folk song collectors that started in the 1930s, Ann and Frank Warner. And they collected all up and down the eastern coast in rural communities. And amongst the places they went were the Adirondack Mountains, where they found a guy named John Galusha, who knew over 100 songs. And they also found a woman in New Hampshire named Lena Bourne Fish, who had grown up in the northeastern New York State in the Adirondacks. So this is Mrs. Fish who sang this song. It's got to date back to at least the 1800s, early 1800s, and I learned my version from their son, Jeff Warner, who sings it. It's called The Jolly Tinker, and the chorus is much easier than that last one. It's Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-row. Nice Irish chorus. I am a jolly tinker that goes from town to town. I'll mend your pots and kettles if you'll only bring them round. Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-row. I can mend umbrellas and I can tinker a clock. The housewives are all smiles when they see the tinker stop. Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-row. I know how to solder, and I can mend a pot. I can also stop a hole so it will not leak a drop. Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-row. A tinker never marries, no, no, has a girl in every town. They shower me with kisses as they bring their kettles round. Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-row. They feast me and regale me with choicest meats and wines. At whatever house I stop at, I can always sup and dine. Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-row. So many wait my coming, for I have many friends. I never stored much gold, and yet I have a lot to spend. Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-low. My life is wild and free, and I do not seek renown. I'm just a jolly tinker with a girl in every town. Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-low. I am a jolly tinker, I go from town to town. I'll mend your pots and kettles if you'll only bring them round. Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-row. Tour-a-laddie, 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 high-row. Thank you. One of my favorite places to do research in New York State is the what they call NYSHA, the New York State Historical Association in Cooperstown. They have a wonderful research library there, and amongst their holdings are all of the papers of this professor from Cornell, Harold Thompson, who wrote a great book called Body, Boots, and Britches of New York State Folklore. All of his papers are there. And also those of Louis Jones, who was a big mover and shaker in the 1940s and 50s and beyond in New York State history and folklore and folk life. He was a university professor here in Albany in the 40s, and he used to send his students around, his graduate students, knocking on doors basically, asking elderly people in the community if they knew old songs. And so this would have been, these are people who were born mid-1800s. And also, one of the projects of the folklore class was to collect what they call kid lore, which is children's songs and rhymes and games and things. One of the ones I took from there, from the Louis Jones archive, that I love doing, I love teaching it to kids because they just grab onto it. I thought it was unique to, it was credited to an 8-year-old in Albany, New York. I thought it was perhaps unique to Albany, but I sang it a couple years ago in Buffalo, where I live, and anybody, just about everybody in the audience over the age of 60 all started to sing it as soon as I did. Maybe some of you know it too. It's to the tune of My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. Last night as I laid on my pillow, last night as I laid on my bed, I stuck my big feet out the window. Next morning my neighbors were dead. Oh, bring back, oh, bring back my neighbors to me, oh, bring back, oh, bring back my neighbors to me. Have you heard that before? Some people have. There was also one to the same tune about tuberculosis. I probably shouldn't do that one, unless you want me to. Okay, one person wants to hear it. Great. My girlfriend has tuberculosis. My girlfriend has only one lung. She coughs up this awful green matter and rolls it around on her tongue. Boy, I tell you, once kids hear that today, they're, oh, that's awesome. Can I do that? Teach that to me. But one of them, another little one I picked up, I don't know what to do with it, but it puts husbands, I think, in an interesting light. So I took my wife to the circus. The circus we did see. She fell in love with a monkey and wouldn't come home with me. That's a smart woman, huh? And this next song also I got from that same Louis Jones archive. This is called The Bald-Headed End of the Broom. It's 18th or 19th century. Louis Jones had it from a guy named Charles Hercules Benedict, who spent his whole life in Westchester County, and the song has been found in lots of other areas of the state also. The chorus is, boys keep away, or stay far away from the girls I say, give them lots of room, for if you wed, you'll get beat o'er the head with the bald-headed end of the broom. As something to be, marriage is something to be avoided. Peggy Seeger, of the famous Seeger singing family, makes a very interesting point in saying that all these 19th century oral tradition songs, you almost never see the woman portrayed in the absence of man and or love and or family and marriage, whereas the men can be portrayed in all these adventurous roles and different roles, sometimes having nothing to do with women. It seems that the only time you hear women mentioned in any of these songs is when there's a man involved. So very interesting to note that. All right, so stay far away from the girls I say, give them lots of room, for if you wed, you'll get beat o'er the head with the bald-headed end of the broom. Stay far away from the girls, I say, give them plenty of room, for if you wed, you'll get beat o'er the head with the bald-headed end of the broom. Try that with me. Stay far away from the girls, I say, give them plenty of room, for if you wed, you'll get beat o'er the head with the bald-headed end of the broom. Love is such a very funny thing, it catches the young and the old. It's just like a plate, a boarding house hash, and many's the man it's sold. It'll make you feel like a freshwater eel, cause your head for to swell. You'll lose your mind and your love is blind, it'll empty your pocketbook as well. Stay far away from the girls, I say, give them plenty of room, for if If you wed, you'll get beat o'er the head with the bald headed end of the broom. Take, don't be in a hurry to wed. You'll think you're in clover till the honeymoon is over, and then you'll wish you were dead. You'll get a wife and 17 half-starved kids, nary any grub to chaw. You'll call for your son for to load up your gun to assassinate your mother-in-law. Stay far away from the girls, I say, give them plenty of room. For if you wed, you get beat o'er the head with the ball. Songs. He was the one that worked in the lumber woods in the southern tier, and it's a song I just put together for this particular conference because I think it portrays women in a way that is different from the other songs in my repertoire, and in a way that's not uncommon in some of these songs, which is the woman is either cheated on. The husband's either untrue, or the husband just decides he wants somebody else, so he actually, in typical 19th century folk song fashion, he just murders the one that he's with currently. So that's what happens in this one. He ends up murdering her, but it doesn't end there. In a rare case of most American folk songs don't have much in the way of supernatural text or themes, but she comes back and gets them. It's called Pat O'Brien. The unfortunate part is I'm just learning it now, so I'm not 100% confident in it. And I guess the other downside is I don't play it very well on the guitar. And the other negative is I don't really sing it very well either. But the good part is, it's a really cool story. And that's what I want you to hear, so don't worry about the rest of it. It's called Pat O'Brien. Come all of you true lovers, I will have you to draw near. A sad and dismal story as ever you shall hear. Concerning of two lovers, they were in their youthful bloom. One of them was murdered, and the other was hung last June. Pat O'Brien's the young man's name, and a carpenter by trade. He took delight each day and night a-courting this fair maid, till at length he'd had his fill of her, and then he proved untrue. But bad advice and jealousy soon gained his overthrow. He wrote his love a letter, the answer to obtain, saying, Nancy, lovely Nancy, you cannot me blame, for I've been working hard all day and I couldn't see you, my love, but I wish to have your company this evening in the grove. It was those two lines enticed her to go. She dressed herself in private, I want to let you know. And when he saw her coming, it was then he ran to hide. These words he said to and to himself, "You ne'er shall be my bride." He boldly stepped unto her, and soon her color changed. "Patsy, lovely Patsy, what makes you look so strange? Speak not one word from you, my love, for right here is your grave. There's ain't one woman living that can ever be deceived." He grabbed her by her yellow locks, threw her upon the ground, and with a knife he stabbed her, gave her a deathly wound. And with the spade that dug her grave, he then bashed out her brains. Said she, "Oh, Pat O'Brien, you'll never know my pain." The ghost of this fair one to her mother did appear. Her mother spoke unto her with neither dread nor fear. "Mother, dearest mother, you ne'er shall see me more, for Pat O'Brien has murdered me, I'm in my bloody gore. But if you go down to John Eden's grove without any more delay, it's there you'll find my body all covered up in clay. And on the ground you'll see my blood where Pat has murdered me. Just go and have him taken, for hanged he'll surely be." Her mother went in search of her, and soon her body found. A number of people assembled there, they assembled to view the ground. And when the people stooped over her to view her bloody fate, when Pat O'Brien stooped over her, she dashed blood in his face. It was then they had him taken, marched off to jail, left there to weep for Nancy all in his dismal cell. Left there to weep for Nancy, and what could grieve him more was every night she haunted him all in her bloody gore. On the day of his trial, he marched him up to deck, and every word that escaped his lips caused us to see the blood. Come all you judges and juries and all who stand nearby, it was I who murdered Nancy, and I'm willing now to die. Thank you very much. Anyone have comments? Yeah.
After reading that, I have to ask you, have you ever heard the Ballad of Henry Green?
Yes. That's a New York State murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a folk song that was based on the actress.
That's right. Where have you heard that?
Well, I'm researching actresses, and it was an actress, itinerant actress, that was murdered.
Oh, wow. That's in the Harold Thompson book.
Some of it is.
Really? Wow. Do you know when that took place?
1843.
So it wasn't all fantasy.
No, except that he poisoned her with arsenic.
He poisoned her with arsenic. Unbelievable.
Any indication that there was an incident behind this?
There have been a number of folk song scholars who've tried to trace this song, and they can't definitively figure out where it started, but they think maybe Ireland, and perhaps it is based on a true story, but no one's, I mean, there's so many O'Briens, I guess, in Ireland, so hard to tell if it's based on a true thing. There was a murder that Harold Thompson also mentions in that book in Buffalo in 1825, three brothers, Thayers, yeah, and there was a broadside made out of that, which people ended up singing. Hmm. Interesting. Well, let's finish with, this is one I got out of a book from up in the Adirondacks. A woman remembering her childhood in the 1880s, and her name was Edna West Teal, and she put out a book called Adirondack Memories, I think it's called. She didn't write it until about the 1950s, but she was remembering back about growing up on a rural farm in rural upstate New York, and she just called this an old song when she wrote her book. That was the title. It said an old song. Well, she was right about that. It turns out it goes all the way back to Scotland, to at least the 1600s, but was passed along orally right up until her ancestors came over here and was carried on well beyond until, at least until the 1880s. It often has the male as a sort of drunk buffoon in other versions, but this, her particular version, the guy's not drunk, he's just coming home and finding things a little different from when he left and wondering why. And so the wife tries to explain to him why that is. Let's see. Oh, and before we, I'll do this as the last song. I want to thank everybody for coming and also put out a small plea. If any of you are working with archives and come across song lyrics, poetry even, songs often look like poetry when they're written in diaries or journals, any recorded, any old oral histories that have recorded songs that some of our ancestors might have sang here in New York State, I'd be most gratified to hear from you. I have some cards up here and also an email list, and for anyone who'd like to keep in touch, I'd sure like to keep in touch with you. Here we go. The old man came home one night, his young wife to see. There he found another arm where his arm ought to be. Well, you old fool, you silly fool, you foolish fool, said she. That's only a rolling pin dear mother sent to me. Well, I've traveled this wide world over 10,000 miles or more. Fingers on a rolling pin I ain't never seen before. Came home the next night, his young wife to see. There he found another coat where his coat ought to be. Well, you old fool, you silly fool, you foolish fool, said she. That's only a bed quilt dear mother sent me. Well, I've traveled this wide world over 10,000 miles or more. Buttons on a bed quilt I ain't never seen before. That old man, he came home the next night, his young wife to see. There he found another head where his head ought to be. You old fool, you foolish fool, you silly fool, said she. That's only a cabbage head dear mother sent to me. Well, I've traveled this wide world over 10,000 miles or more. But a mustache on a cabbage head I ain't never seen before. Thank you very much. Thank you.